Hello, audience. It's me, the Woker. I've hijacked the radio show, and I'm here to say some crazy things on this Halloween night. Get ready. This show's gonna get canceled before you know it. Oh, I think he's here. I gotta go.
Is he gone? I think he's gone. Anyway, how's it going, ladies and gentlemen? How's it going? It's Halloween! Ooh, spooky! How's it going? I hope you had a good night. Most people, here's the thing, most people don't celebrate Halloween on Halloween anymore. That's just how it is nowadays, you know? You say you celebrate it on the day before because you don't want to see yourself with those little snotty children who are getting treats, going to door. But either way, welcome. I hope you're strapped in. We're not going to talk about video games today, because that's boring. No one wants to hear me talk about video games nowadays, you know? It's just how it is. Maybe I will go back to it. No promises. But this show, this episode in particular, is going to be a bit more rambly than the others. So please bear with me. Anyway, let's talk about the season, shall we? Here's my experience with Halloween, right? You know, like back 10 years ago, right? You have your little costume. You go out. Sometimes you just make it yourself. I had several times where I just make the costume myself because I'm either jobless or don't have enough time, right? Probably one of my best had to be just the Error 404, like ripped up shirt, like white shirt, and just had Error 404 on it. But you know, there's more creative ones. I made Mario with a dad hat and a little M written in cardboard, and I taped that on there. Because we couldn't find the actual hat that came with the costume. But, you know, all that gets ruined once you get braces. That's the thing that people forget, right? People who have perfect teeth, we're not talking about you. You can leave, all right? But the people who have the crooked teeth but didn't get braces, you can stay. It's fine. We're both suffering in different ways. But you have braces for 3 years in your development years, like usually during your late teens or even early teens. That's when I had them. And it just ruins your Halloween. I got my braces right after Halloween, thank goodness, because if I didn't, I would be a miserable man. I would be in shambles. But here's the thing, right? Like, once you have braces, you can't eat anything anymore. You can't eat anything fun, right? Obviously, the limit gets a little pushed afterwards. And people, most children now have Invisalign, and I envy them, all right? That's the sad truth. You can just get a retainer now, and it'll fix your teeth the exact same as these stupid metal braces. Those are the scariest thing of the season, my friends. This is what you have to look out for. They just cut up your gums. It looks like something out of a horror movie. It generally is a horror movie. They should make a horror movie out of that. Anyway, what was I talking about? Right. I feel like big dental is really ruining children's enjoyment of Halloween. It ruined my enjoyment. Because then for 3 years, I was just residing at home. Because if you don't, like, it was no point to have a costume. Because A, high school, you have to wear a uniform anyway. And B, Halloween's ruined. What are you going to do with that candy? What are you going to do? You're going to donate it? Oh, it's so charitable, dude. Wow. Now, you're going to sit at home. Sit, like, probably looking at your phone or whatever. And then whenever the door rings, you walk up to it, and then you just hand the kids candy. And you say, oh, that's a cool costume. That's, wow, you're an alien. Whoa, that's so creative, dude. That's, wow, that's insane. It just ruins the season. And then after that, you become 18, and either you give up the holiday entirely, or you just do parties. Parties are the main life force of late adolescent people nowadays. Late teens, 18, 19. You don't, like, even the adults, they just have Halloween parties nowadays. I have never been the one, but I can imagine they are the end-all be-all nowadays, you know? I see everyone having a Halloween party, and I'm never invited. What the hell, you know? I could make a cool costume if I had time and patience, and I actually cared about the costumes. I'm more of a vibe kind of guy. That's the thing. At the end of the day, you know? You can't really be just sitting at home, like, at 11 p.m. or even 1, and you're just, like, sitting there and watching, I don't know, a good movie, a good Halloween movie, you know? There's nothing that can beat that. There's absolutely nothing that can beat that. But I digress. Here's my question, though. They say it's trick or treating, right? But here's my question. When in the history of the world has any household ever say trick? You say trick or treat, and they hold up the bag, and you just pull a lever, and a trap door opens, and the kids fall into a well that's 50 feet deep. No. It's always treat. It's always treat, or else you're the bad house, and then no one goes to you anymore. What, are you just gonna have, like, a big spinny wheel, and it's gonna have flashing lights, and then you're just like, a 50-50 chance of trick or treat? If it lands on trick, you just hand the kid, like, a Snickers bar with, like, razor blades inside of it? No. No. That's not how it works. You always say treat. Obviously, you know, there's a gradient, right? Yeah, on the one hand, you have the houses that give, like, big, like, those gigantic, like, Snickers bars that are, like, the size of your palm. Or, like, those gigantic bags of, like, M&Ms. Those are good. Those are fantastic. But, and then you have the other side, right? Who either just gives, like, a twiddly wink of, like, I don't know, you get, like, one packet of, like, Swedish berries or something like that. Swedish fish, anyway. Is that what it's called? Swedish fish? Yeah. Maybe it needs to get their stuff together, man. I don't know. The only good thing they have is Sour Patch Kids. That's another thing. Candy, right? Most candy sucks nowadays. I'm sorry to tell you. Like, the only good brands are ones that just, like, pile it with sugar. Just keep smashing in the sugar inside of it, right? You got, like, Sour Patch Kids. You got Kit Kat. You got M&M's, peanut M&M's, ooh, those hit the spot. But anything else, it's just manufactured. You can tell it's in a lab. Like, what are Airheads? What are Airheads? Have you ever thought of that? Like, what are Airheads, you know? Like, they're just like little taffy things that you... I hear that you can, like, blow into them, or, like, you can shake them a bit, and then they actually become something. Like, maybe more interesting to eat, but, like, still, they're just, like, little, like, putty. It's like frozen putty you just, like, chew on. It gets stuck in your teeth. Most candy gets stuck in your teeth, and that's why I hate most candy. A real trick-or-treat house should actually give out pastries. That would be bomb. That would be so good. Imagine you just roll up to a house, and they just, like, hand you, like, an apple tart, or, like, an apple, like, apple fritter or something like that. Oh, that would hit the spot. But anyway. I got a little scared earlier. A little near-death experience, but not really a near-death experience kind of thing. It was on Saturday, actually. I'm trying to get my G2, believe it or not. I don't have a car yet. I don't plan on getting a car, because that's for people that have so much air inside their heads that they can't even... They did float to the surface of the you can see them through the Hubble telescope. That's how much air is inside of their heads. But anyway, this near-death experience happened on the freeway, as most do. I was doing my G2 lesson, I'm planning to get my G2, and we're almost done. We're doing invasive maneuvers, whatever, and we were driving around the parking lot of this mall plaza kind of thing, and we park right next to a Home Depot, right? I've told many people this story, so if you've heard this one before, don't spoil it. Anyway, we get onto the on-ramp, and I see on my dash a little blinking light, and then me and the instructor are kind of just like, eh. I mean, it's like probably a false alarm, right? Because it's just how it is with these kind of things. My dad's van, is so old that it just keeps blinking no matter what happens to it. So you can't really control those things. But I get onto the on-ramp, but before I do, someone in the other car that is traveling on the same, like, on the lane right next to me is telling me to roll down their window, my window, in order for them to tell me something. And at this point, I realize that I accidentally locked the window, so I can't hear a word of what they're saying. Again, we're kind of like, oh, I don't know, that's kind of weird. Anyway, we got onto the freeway, right?
and I feel the car, like, not shaking, but I can feel it, like, kind of like a kind of noise while it's accelerating, right? But when it's, like, at 100, I'm doing fine, whatever. I also feel like it's kind of, like, tilted a little bit, but, eh, whatever. We get back home. I open the door. And then I hear, oh no, from the instructor as I look out. And I see, I see the wheel completely flat. The back, like, I think it was the back right wheel, completely flat. It is sinking into the ground. It is like an ectoplasmic ghost sinking into the core of the earth right now. It is absolutely horrific. Because I'm like, what? That's never happened to me before, or anyone, or any car I've ever been in. So I immediately get my dad, and he fixes it, because he's been doing auto mechanics. He worked in auto mechanics for 3 years, or he went to college and learned that stuff about wheels and cars and such, and so he fixed it pretty efficiently, I have to say. Big props to my dad, but anyway, I'm just thinking about what could have happened if either the wheel was punctured in the front, because it was a tiny staple. It was two tiny staples that made a tiny little hole. So I'm assuming when I was on the on-ramp, it wasn't that noticeable. It was noticeable enough for people to see it, but wasn't noticeable enough for actually to do any damage, right? But imagine that was my front wheel, or it was like something bigger, like a big, like, 9-inch nail or something like that, right? Imagine what could have happened. I could have been, like, tumbling on the freeway at 100. Like, I could have died out there, you know? It's something like this that makes me think about that kind of stuff. You know, it's very, very spooky. Very terrifying. But I digress. I do believe I had another near-death experience, but I don't remember it. So anyway, let's move on. Let's move on to the vibe of Halloween, right? You see all these movies come popping up recently, right? It's almost like they're marketed to children, which I find is very perverse. I don't like that at all, right? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But I feel like Halloween, and by proxy the horror genre as a whole, is just becoming this cesspool for bad, like, B-movie, not even B-movie, because those are actually fun, like, terrible marketing decisions just to come to light. Look at Blood and Honey. The immediate moment that Winnie the Pooh became public domain, they made the worst horror movie. I've only seen the trailer, and it's bad. It looks bad. You can see it for yourself. What are they doing? What are they doing? And then you obviously see other things, like, you know, you have Five Nights at Freddy's. I've talked about Five Nights at Freddy's before. And all those, you have Garden of Banban, you have all those, you have one of the, what's the other ones? Poppy's Playtime, or whatever it's called, right? I don't understand who they're marketing it for, because it's children, right? It has to be children. It has to be children. Because FNAF obviously started this entire trend of, like, kind of, like, you taking like, the nice, like, happy-go, like, the nice childhood kind of, like, visage, like, a facade, and in the middle you see, like, the, oh, it's spooky, and the animatronics are real. But in reality, right, it's just created a cesspool of children. It just created a cesspool of children who are obsessed with the Freddy Fazbear, right? Obviously, I feel like an old man at this point, right? I feel like I'm just an old geezer sitting on my rocking chair, looking at all those kids on my lawn, and I'm like, ah, those damn kids with their Garden of Banban and their Five Nights at Freddy's.
Back in my day, we used to have good video games. I used to play Scary Maze Game, and I had a great time with it. I liked getting jump scared, thank you very much. I liked collecting the 6-9 pages. Ooh.
Like, obviously, the whole video game genre as a whole, for horrors kind of mixed, right, in my opinion. Because you have a perfect medium for it, right? You have the full control. You are the player, the person who's playing the game, is in it, right? They are inside the game. And at the end of it, what do we get? We get, like, I hate... Like, Benny and Ink Machine, for example. That is the most nihilistic, cynical video game I have ever seen in my life. I am so glad that in grade 8, that phase was only for, like, a few moments. For, like, a month, maybe. At tops, right? Like, it's the most cookie-cutter. They know that they're marketing the children. Because the game itself, the puzzles inside of it, are so bad and so drawn out. And the actual, like, meat of it is completely up to interpretation, right? Like, game theory, for example, is peddling this entire market for making bad, poorly constructed, nihilistic, stupid, like, plots for these video games and these movies. And the entirety of them are supposed to be like, what do you think, viewer? Hey, viewer, what do you think? What do you think, Freddy Fazbear? What child soul do you think's in Freddy Fazbear? Leave a comment below, and we'll make it the reality, because the more people say it, the more it becomes true at the end of the day. And the writers are like, oh yeah, let's just do that. So the plot is literally written by the people who are fans of the product. That's the most laziest thing I've ever seen in my life, right? There's no plot hooks at the end of the day, then. What are we supposed to do with it? What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? It's a pizzeria. It's a damn pizzeria. And you're supposed to make, like, an actual, like, plot out of it? No. Yeah, the people will write it for us. The people will write it for us. Simple as that, right? Sorry, I'm a little on edge today, because it's Halloween, after all. So let's talk about a good video game. How about that? I've been craving to play Darkest Dungeon, right? It's this kind of roguelike, not really, because at the end of the day, it's permadeath, but at the same time, it takes place in the same save file, so I guess it's not really permadeath, whatever. Point is that you are exploring the spooky mansion, and inside the mansion, there's a bunch of ghoulies, right? But I like it because it's actually complicated, and you have to actually, like, strategize. It's more of a strategy game than a horror game, but at the same time, it's got spooky stuff going on in it. And the thing is also is that when one of your crew members dies, they die permanently, right? And then also they have a sanity meter, which means also insanity could occur, and people, like, grow as characters or devolve as characters, which I think is pretty neat. It kind of gives it a neat little little ribbon on it. That seals the deal for me. But at the same time, I feel like those good video games are a little bit too... What's the word? Much. Because I feel like the attachment I get to the characters themselves is too much, and I just turn off the game because I'm like, I don't want them to die. I don't want Jeremy the swordsman to die. He's cool. He's got a sword. He's got a revolver too, and he shoots a zombie, and he shoots the Eldritch Horde underneath the basement of the mansion. You know, it's neat. But at the same time, I really want to get back into it, because it's spooky season after all. But either way, the soundtrack itself is also pretty fun. I love Darkest Dungeon soundtracks. They are the perfect backdrop for any tabletop role-playing game, I'll tell you that much. I've been playing this soundtrack for, like, years, since I figured out this game existed. Let me give you a little slice, let me just show you how it sounds.
Ooh, are you spooked? Are you scared? Oh, I bet you're so scared. I bet you're trembling in your boots right now, man. I bet you're trembling. Whoever you are, I bet you're trembling in your boots. Your galoshes are shaking at the seams.
But either way, it's a pretty fun game. You should check it out. It might be a bit pricey, but maybe there's a sale. I don't know. I haven't checked. But anyway, I'm sorry if I offended any of you for my spicy video game horror game takes, but at the same time, eh? We're all people at the end of the day, right? Let's talk childhood. Something we can all relate to, right? maybe not all of us, but I remember back in the day there used to be these Halloween elementary school dances, right? That was the only time I actually wanted to make a costume, because at the end of the day, those were like the most impressive things at the time. That's what everyone was hyped about. There was like this little sheet of paper that was passed around to all the people, and you wrote down like your favorite song, and it wouldn't get played ever, like most DJs. It's been a constant for like the past my entire life. You put down a song and it never gets played, except for this one song, right? Oh, I know all of you know it. All of you know it. You're just scared to admit that you know it. I'm talking about Spooky Scary Skeletons, alright? This song has been pervasive throughout all music, Halloween-themed music, right? I feel like this and Monster Mash are the two most played Halloween... These are the only Halloween songs that we have, right? Like, with Christmas songs, right? You have thousands. You have thousands to choose from. Right? But, like, with Halloween songs, you only have two. Look, you can blare the Nightmare Before Christmas soundtrack, but that's also Christmas. And then if you blare anything else that's not Danny Elfman, then you're not. It's just the spooky, like the strings going. I know is that picking up the mic? But yeah. I just feel like nowadays there has to be more Halloween themed music. It's not gonna get any better if we don't try, okay? Someone get on that. I will pay money. If I get a six-figure job, I will pay money to make a good Halloween themed album. But either way. Oh, wait. We got our first live message, ladies and gentlemen. They say, Calling All the Monsters is a pretty good track as well, and I would have to agree with them. Also, when I forgot, Thriller. Calling All the Monsters and Thriller. Those are the four, all right? Those are the only four Halloween songs, all right? For all the faults of Michael Jackson, Thriller is not one of them. It's one of the best. It's one of the best 80s songs as a whole, I believe, but... Disregarding that, I feel like the only problem with Spooky Scary Skeletons is that the original's good. The original's fantastic. But most people only know the stupid dubstep remix. It's so sad to me. It's so sad. It's a tragedy, really, that only a select few know that the actual dubstep is from an original 70s song. It's a good 70s song. But no, they had to speed it up, make it nightcore, and had to put like a stupid, like a bit, 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 it's so dumb! Dubstep should stay in the 2010s. That's my opinion. EDM, perfectly fine. Skrillex, get in here. But like, you're not gonna get anywhere else. I'll just play you a little piece, and we'll see which one you like more, alright? For you live, the listeners who are listening to this as a recording, I'm so sorry. Most of this stuff is going to be examples, so why don't you tune in for once? Hey, it's Tuesdays at 10 p.m. to 11 p.m., ladies and gentlemen, and you can tune in. Listen, if you want to get a nice reminder, just go to my Instagram. First plug of the show, thank you very much. D-E-R-D-E-R-M. O-N-I-K, that's Dermonic, right? Go there, follow me on Instagram, and you can get the little story, and it'll show up and say, hey, I'm going to be live in 30 minutes, and bada-bing. Simple as that. And you can tune in the live, and you can hear the nice tunes that I'm playing. Anyway, Spooky Scary Skeletons. Let's go.
Well, ladies and gentlemen...
There's the rain. How you liking the rain, by the way? I think it might be a bit cheesy, including the song as well, but I think it really sells the mood, you know? I've told you already, I'm a vibe guy. I don't really go out that often. I'm inside my crypt 24/7, and the moment that I do actually have a platform, I go off the walls. like I do every day. But anyway, I'm going to be honest with you. Video games all I've been doing recently, so I'm going to talk more about that. Here's the thing, right? I love when video games do, like, a special event. Like, most mobile games, right? You have your Pokemon goes, you have all that kind of other stuff, right? They have, like, a Halloween event, and you go out, and, like, the Pikachu's wearing, like, a pumpkin on his head or something like that. I haven't played Pokemon Go in, like, 4 years, but, like, that's what I imagine happens. But, like, it's not only in mobile games. It's like every video game that can have updates. They usually just, like, tack on, like, oh, he's wearing a costume now. Like Pizza Tower, for example. If you listen to the pilot, no one's listened to the pilot because I didn't upload on my Instagram at Dermonic. But Pizza Tower is a very fun game, and what's more is that they literally added like a whole new pack of content for Halloween. They didn't have to, which is it's just insane to me. That, like, these video games are able to, like, pump out so much stuff. It's a kind of a testament to how big they've become. Like, this wouldn't be, like, back in the day, people were like, ah, you just have one game, it's on the cartridge, and you don't have to update it. You don't have to go to the store and update it, right? But, like, that's for games that come out broken. Like, Cyberpunk and a bunch of others. And, like, for example, the GTA 5 remaster. Oh, my goodness. No, was it San Andreas? I forget. Point is, broken games are going to stay broke, and they're going to try to patch it out over time and work their employees to the bone and almost death.
Spooky.
In order to actually pump out a game. Like, you hear, those are real, that's the real horror story right there. You hear about, like, EA or any of these, like, Project Red, of people working 16-hour days, working less, like, tirelessly on this one code. Like, if, for example, Red Dead Redemption 2, someone had to program the poop, like the horse pooping, right? Then people had to do that. You could cut that out. You didn't need that. You could put resources into something else. I don't need to see a horse, like, realistically pooping. I'm sorry. But anyway, I'm getting a little too heated on the mic right now. I need to bring it back down. But either way, I feel like, and another thing also, I do believe that we've kind of strayed away from Halloween. I feel like Halloween is more of a goofy holiday than anything else. Because it's not supposed to be actually scary at the end of the day, right? They obviously have haunted houses and all that, but they're just supposed to be people and actors. You know that they're actors. And it's goofy, it's cheesy, it's fun, right? People are taking Halloween too seriously, and they're making spooky, they die, and it's actually haunted. And it's not anything anymore. It doesn't have that charm, right? Go back to the 90s. Beetlejuice, right? Come on, Nightmare Before Christmas. Even Chainsaw Massacre 2. I have never watched the first Chainsaw Massacre, but I watched the second one for some reason with my friends. And I loved it. As cheesy and as B-movie as it was. It was beautiful, and I loved it so much. But Beetlejuice and Nightmare Before Christmas, I feel like those are like the two pervasive Halloween movies. Nightmare Before Christmas is a bit controversial, though. Do you think it's a Halloween movie, or do you think it's a Christmas movie? Leave a DM in my Instagram at Dermonic, DermoNik. I'm gonna keep plugging that now, that's fun to do. But anyway, Beetlejuice and Nightmare Before Christmas. I feel like those two are extremely fun in their presentation. They just perfectly present the entire, like, theme. They're supposed to be, like, these, like, they're children, quote-unquote, movies, right? But they got that, like, that little, like, gothic charm to them. They got, like, Jack Skellington, he's, like, a kind of a goofball at the end of the day, right? He's supposed to be, like, this, like, the scariest of them all, right? But he's just a goofball. He wants to, like, spread, like, you know, wants to change, shake it up a little bit. Also, he's not the first skeleton who actually pretends to be Santa Claus. I'll talk about that later, probably, but if you want to look deeper into that, look up Hogfather. Discworld Hogfather, alright? That's the second. There are two, like, medias that have a skeleton who pretends to be Santa Claus, which is really funny to me. But either way, soundtracks as well. Danny Elfman. Who? If you want to talk about Halloween soundtracks, those are fantastic. They perfectly represent the theme. They got that gothic, like, kind of, like the intro, right? I was playing Toccata and Fugue in D minor. No one knows what that is. Most of you probably know that from the meme of with the blue lobster. You seen that one? Look up blue lobster meme on Google, right? That's that song. And that's like the most synonymous with Halloween, specifically Dracula, but that's besides the point. I do believe that an orchestral, but like kind of spooky, like, you obviously throw a theremin in there and maybe add like a few synth sounds, but it's mostly orchestral. And it's fun because it's just like, it's a nice little niche of gothic horror mixed with like comedy and irony. They aren't even tagged as horror movies. But I can imagine as like, if you were watching it as like an 8-year-old, you'd be terrified. I'm just saying. A lot of people, like, I've talked to a lot of people, and they have, specifically with claymation and stop motion, I feel like for some reason there's a big, like, specific, like, surrealness and pervasiveness with stop motion and claymation. I just think it's fun, but a lot of people find it very, off-putting. Is that the right word? Yeah, it is. Okay. But either way, let me show you some of these soundtracks from these songs. We're getting to the end of it, don't worry. I'll be off the air soon. But let's listen to some of these soundtracks, shall we? Well, ladles and germs, I feel like we're about ending it here, folks. But before we go, I might as well get a little poll just to see costume ideas, right? A lot of people say that I'm all right at impressions, right? You believe it or not, the opening bit wasn't actually the Joker. It was me. It was me doing a Joker impression. Crazy, huh? It wasn't actually the Joker. But, you know, I feel like Joe Swanson from Family Guy would also be pretty funny, but I feel like getting a wheelchair would be too much. What other costumes could I do? Like, off the top of my head, Batman will also be pretty fun. But at the same time, I don't know if you know me in real life, but I am a stick. Like, obviously I'm a bit lean, right? But at the same time, my arms can, like, fit into, like, Pringles cans. That's how small I am. That's how small my arms and my hands are. If I were to do a Batman, I'd have to get, like, plating and, like, make it look like I'm buff, and it's not my thing. The most problem is with most costumes is that they're too much time and too much effort in a busy world that we have to live in and coexist, and I have two midterms still. What fun. I'm having a great time. Don't worry about it. But I digress. Like, for example, right? I could do an alright Batman impression, but you'll have to bear with me, for example, for a moment. Hold on. And while I'm doing it, I also have to switch between the Joker, so please bear with me.
Batman! My name's Batman, hello. Hello, my name's Batman, hello. Where is he?
Sorry, Batman. You're too late. My name's the Woker, and the liberal agenda's being pushed.
No, you can't do that, Woker. Woker!
Just a little treat for you guys before parting this Halloween. I hope you all have a fantastic night. Whether you partied today, or you're partying yesterday, or you partied yesterday, I hope that your Halloween was full of spookies and fright and delight. That's me, Dominic, signing off from the After Class show, and I hope y'all have a pleasant night. Peace!